Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. Because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and for a year now, I've been flying solo. Man, I miss my co-host, Pastor Ken Keltner, for Brookside Baptist Church. I look forward to having him back in studio with me one day. So if you listen to the show, you know one of the more difficult things to do sometimes is to find guests. And it's funny because they come in droves, and then I'm looking, and I'm up at 3 in the morning looking around. And there's a man that I've gone to church with for a long time. In fact, his daughters babysat for my grandkids. So much I think of that family. And Brian Lipinski came up to me one day at church and said, "Hey, do you take recommendations?" And I said, "Recommendations for what?" And he said, "Faith in the Zone." I said, "Oh, I do. Yeah, I really do, Brian." He said, "I'm going to send you an email later today. I've got two people that might really fit with what you're looking for." And I said, "Great." Brian sent me this very nice email about his two sister-in-laws and just said the really, really kind things about them. And he never once said that he took them out on the basketball court and beat them, though. Never brought that up at all. And now I understand why by doing some research. We're going to today have two guests. First two segments, Angie Wenzel, is it Murison?
Murison.
And her sister Stephanie Wenzel Lee is going to join us the next two segments, both Heartland Arrowhead grads. Angie was put into the Heartland Arrowhead Hall of Fame in 2016. Big-time basketball player, Division I basketball player. And when you read the article that I read about her, boy, I'll tell you what, not only first class on the court, but first class off the court, and just a really nice article. Angie, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, let's start with your background. You obviously grew up in the Heartland area, and went to Arrowhead. When you were playing youth sports, was your whole goal to get on that court and play on the varsity basketball team at Arrowhead?
For sure. Growing up, that's what I love about the Arrowhead community. You know, on a Friday night, the community comes out. So whoever's playing a home game, everybody's there. And that was an amazing thing. As a kid, we'd go to the games. And we went to a boys' state game because my fourth grade teacher was the varsity boys' coach. And so we went and supported them at Madison. So that was kind of where my wheel started turning, and my desire to play for Arrowhead really started and grew from there. Hey. And so it really started as a little kid going to all those games.
Angie, you know, I do this high school basketball show during basketball season and football during football. And once those are over, we go back and forth with baseball and Wisconsin football Coach Association. And I'd say 80% of the guys I have on that show believe that being a multi-sport athlete is really important to get a well-rounded athlete and a person. And looking at your bio, you know, 4.0 grade point average, you know, won the VFW Good Citizenship Award, National Honor Society for 3 years, and then I can't even name all the achievements that you got athletically from, you know, softball and volleyball and basketball. And I just have to give your parents a lot of credit because they were chasing all over the place getting you to practices, but yet they made you understand that being a student athlete was most important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I give my parents a ton of credit. And being a parent now, it's the toughest job in the world. They did not play sports growing up. And so they were immigrant kids. And so they never had an opportunity to play sports. And so when, you know, my sister, my brother as well, and I, we showed interest in sports, they were like, all right, game on, let's do it. They didn't know a lot about sports, but they learned pretty quick. And it was a lot of fun. But, man, I don't know how they made it through all those games sitting in the bleachers. It's much harder to watch than to play.
Hey, who could you hear in the stands, your mom or dad?
Probably both. One of my most favorite memories was my grandma would come to a couple games, and she was this little German lady. She'd walk with her cane into the bleacher, make it up there, and, man, she could yell at those referees, I'm telling you.
That's awesome.
So it was great. I think maybe we got some of our competitive nature from her.
I love that. We're talking to Angie Wenzel-Murison. She is a Heartland Arrowhead grad and Hall of Fame 2016 inductee into the Arrowhead Athletic Hall of Fame, big-time multi-sport athlete. And, Angie, normally we will kind of ease our way into asking somebody for their testimony, and a lot of shows will spend the entire 4 segments with one guest and kind of ease into it. After I talk a little smack, like, if you played me horse, I'd have to probably give you a couple letters because I'd whoop you, that kind of stuff. I'm not doing that with you. I'm not doing that with you because I got a feeling I'm going to lose all of that. But if we could kind of start to talk about your testimony and where it began for you.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up in a Christian home, went to a Baptist church my entire life growing up. Family was everything, and then basketball was next. And, of course, God was up there because that was the foundation of our family, was God. And growing up, that was it. And so I had an amazing high school experience, you know, playing for Coach Hamilton. I'm so thankful that she gave me the opportunity to play and gave me the minutes and the confidence. And I was able to sign a scholarship to play down in Chicago with a full ride. So once high school was over and I was able to play with my sister, which was amazing as well, moved on to college. And while there, I ended up starting and either was the leading scorer, second leading scorer on the team, whatever it was. But at the end of the season, the coach, we had our end of season meeting, and he just said, you know, you're never going to play for me again. I'm not never going to put you on the floor again. I'm going to get my own players in here, and that's kind of it. And so I was kind of at a crossroads where I could stay and kind of, you know, use that as motivation and, you know, I'm going to prove him wrong, or I could go. And at that point, at that crossroads, I decided to leave. And so I moved a little closer to home, and I sat out through the transfer rules. The next year, I didn't really get any playing time. And then my third year there, I was the sixth man off the bench and was getting like about 15 minutes a game or so. And then suddenly, like the last 3 games of the season, I didn't play at all. And I didn't know what happened. I wasn't sure what was going on. And then, you know, we were actually one of the top teams in the conference that year, and we ended up losing in the first round of the tournament. And we had, again, our end-of-season meeting. And I prepared for it because it was going to be my fifth year, senior year. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to make this the best year that I can. So I prepared. I met with our sports psychologist that worked with our team and came up with a plan of how I was going to be a leader, how I was going to step up and just show my leadership skills and be someone, you know, on and off the court that these younger players could look up to. And before I could even get a word out, the coaches said, you know, we've decided to remove you from the team. You'll no longer be part of the team. And that really was a devastating blow, because so much of my identity had been basketball and sports and the competitiveness of it. And it was just quite a ordeal for me to kind of deal with.
You know, so, when, hey, Angie, I'm sorry to stop you, but when something like that happens, when your whole identity is kind of wrapped around that, and I coached for a long time, and I, you know, I often will see people that, you know, I'd coached a while ago, and they'll say, hey, do you remember when you did this? And that's like, man. And you know, I've thought about that a long time, and so I feel bad that you went through that.
Yeah, it was a tough time for me. But you know, because I had been a Christian my whole life, I always was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to play for God. I was trying, you know, my best to show that I was a Christian in everything that I did. And so that kind of made me question, like, oh man, like what am I doing that maybe is not right, and that maybe, you know, God wants to show me something different. And so it really jolted me, and it made me kind of refine my identity, because it had been in basketball. It had been, you know, in school and in good grades and in my teammates and coaches and everything else. And I had to kind of refine my identity in God and in Christ, you know, because he doesn't change. He doesn't go up and down. It's not about the wins and the losses. It's not about a game. You know, friends and teammates and other people, they can let you down. But, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. He's consistent and he's faithful. And when I went through that time, I really found that God was there with me. He wasn't going to leave me. I felt abandoned by my team and everything that surrounded that. But God was there. My family was there. And it really helped me through that.
Boy, you know, as adults, you know, and as people in positions of authority, you know, I have gone back a lot in my life to have to say, hey, look, why, you know, why did that happen? And I love the fact that you said, look, this is who I am. God never changes. People around me have changed. But I had to look to him. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, I want you to think about this while we're on break, Angie. I'm wondering, and I think I know the answer, but was it easier for you to walk worthy in the locker room or outside of the locker room? And we're going to have that discussion on the other side of the break. She's Angie Wenzel-Murison. She's Arrowhead Hall of Fame. She played multiple sports at Arrowhead, and went on Division I basketball scholarship to two different schools, and a big part of her story and the big part of her faith. And when we talk to people, you know, about how their faith has affected their lives personally and professionally, well, boy, this is personal. And I love the fact that she says, look, he never left me. He didn't abandon me. And I really, really like that a lot. We'll continue our conversation the second half of the show. We'll talk to Angie's younger sister, who said when they played together, Stephanie said, man, my back hurt from carrying Angie all the time on that team. She absolutely did not say that. That's me lying here on Faith in the Zone. She is Angie Wenzel-Murison. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright,
baby brought a rock to a sword fight.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM. The Fan, I'm Mike McGettor, again flying solo this week. Our special guests, and we have two of them. Our first two segments, Angie Wenzel-Murison. She is a 2016 Arrowhead Hall of Fame inductee. What year did you graduate from Arrowhead, by the way? I don't mean to age you or anything, but...
1998.
And you know what? Big time student athlete. Student athlete. Big time, three sports, a lot of success in all three, 4.0 student, and we just don't have enough time for me to go through every single award that she has won because there's a lot of them. Angie, we left off that last segment with me saying, was it easier for you to walk worthy inside the locker room or outside of the locker room? How would you answer that?
I would probably say outside of the locker room. It was just, I was closer to home, I think, and able to get home some weekends and just kind of re-center myself, I think, and get back into just family and God and having that God-based atmosphere again. I was also, you know, closer to my church, so I would go to church on Sundays if we didn't have a game. And just closer to family. My grandparents played a huge role in my life. At that point, my sister was already playing in college in Ohio. And so I didn't get much to see her. But my brother was playing at Arrowhead, and he was playing volleyball and football and I think a little bit of basketball as well. But just able to kind of get back home, recenter myself, kind of get away from everything that was going on the team and everything like that. So,
hey, do you can you still shoot? Can you still hit a jump shot? By the way,
well, I think so.
Well, we might have to fight
in a while. You know, my daughter is in seventh grade, and so she's taken a liking to basketball, and she always is asking me, "Mom, come on, come out and play." And so I'm getting back into it a little bit. But it's amazing how the years of pounding affect my legs and knees and everything else. So.
Oh, I bet. Hey, you know, next time you get home, you know, Coach Hazy would certainly open the gym for us. You know, if
that would be great.
I'm an old grandfather of four, so be kind to me. But I could still shoot it. I could still hit it a little bit as long as you don't play great defense. I can tell you. Hey, Ridgewood Baptist Church is the church that you talk about. That was a big part of your life.
Yeah, it was. I have nothing but great memories from Ridgewood. My entire family was there. So, you know, we'd have Sunday school. I'd walk up the steps. I'd visit my grandparents in the German sanctuary. And then I'd walk over to, you know, sit with my other family, you know, Brian and Andrea, who you know from Brookside.
Sure.
My aunt and uncle. And just that was Sunday. Family and church. And spent the morning every Sunday morning there.
Angie, if you had to do this all over again, if I could say, look, I'm going to get you back to being a senior in high school, knowing what you know now, would you make a different decision? I'm sure that you had a lot of offers as far as where to come and play basketball with not only, you know, how good you were as a player, but your grades, pretty much you would be the perfect kid to say, come play here. Would you think you would do some things differently?
You know, I think I would do it again. I mean, you know, with everything that happened in Chicago that was bad, I did meet my husband there. We had an FCA group, and we started out with just myself, a teammate, and a coach. And by the end of the year, we had 50 athletes there, and my husband was one of them. And so I didn't leave empty-handed from Chicago, for sure.
Hey, wait, Angie, hold on 1 second. I got to ask you how – look, I got goosebumps from that answer because I have talked to a number of people that said, look, we tried to start an FCA group and we had three people in the beginning and we got to six, so we doubled. We were so excited. How do you go from two or three to 50?
I think people were hungry for it.
Amen.
You know, it was a tough place to play. And, you know, kids, I mean, I guess we were kids back then. We were all kids. But I think people saw something that was that was a camaraderie from this group of people. And we had, you know, men's basketball players. We had some women's basketball players. We had, my husband's a tennis player, so we had people from the tennis team. And it was a great group that would meet once a week. And we met right in the union, so everybody walking by saw us. And it was great. It was really fun. Just getting to meet different people that way, and part of a group like that.
Man, that is, you know, that's the best story of all. Well, meeting your husband's the best story. Let's just be honest. But then that FCA, I commend you for that. You know, you're 18, 19 years old in Chicago, saying, "Hey, look, let's find like-minded people. Can we find them to come together and have some athletes, you know, pray together and talk about their faith?" I love the fact that you got to 50 by the end of the year, Angie. I think that's a great story. Hey, you and your husband, do you have kids?
Yeah, we have four kids. So we've got our daughter's 13, and then we have three boys that are 11, almost 10, and almost 6.
Boy, you're busy.
We are.
You are. Are all four of them involved in sports one way or the other?
Yep. Yeah.
Man, you're running to practices and games, and man, that is awesome. Are you getting a chance to coach at all?
I coached right out of college. Probably 4 years or so. And then, you know, once I got married and started having kids, I stepped away from it. I coached my kids a little bit, but I think my kids enjoy having someone else tell them to do it sometimes.
Hey,
eventually I'll get back into it, but we've got some good coaches around here, so it's good.
Angie, how are you in the gym when your 13-year-old is playing basketball? Are you nice and quiet and don't say much?
Well, my husband thinks I should be quieter.
Yeah, but he's a tennis guy. He doesn't know. They have to always be quiet in tennis. Don't you worry about what he's saying, Angie. You listen to me. You can talk and yell a little bit if you want. I love that.
Yeah, it's fun, though. It's a joy to watch my kids play. It is nerve-wracking, though. Again, I don't know how my parents sat through all those games. So.
It's hard. Have you found a good local church in the area that you live?
Yeah. We attend Christ Church in Lake Forest. It's a great church. Lots of young families, lots of older couples as well. So it's a nice mix.
Oh, that's really good. I'll tell you what, Angie. I think that your story on perseverance and coming out of a couple of bad situations that happened to you personally. The best thing that I think he said was, look, he doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's right there with me. He didn't abandon me. And I know that you felt, you know, that you were being abandoned by some coaches and some players. But maybe, you know what, maybe the Lord was teaching you a lesson or teaching you the way. I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I knew more about it. And I could help you because I'm sure that still deep in your gut still bothers you.
Yeah, I mean, it does. But, you know, it taught me a lot as well. I think my personality, being a quieter person, more reserved, it taught me that, you know, talk to more people, be more comfortable talking to people, ask people how they're doing. Don't let being quiet affect you in a negative way. And so I keep that always in the back of my mind, for better or for worse. And it really does kind of force me to talk to other people and, you know, ask them how they're doing and show them that I care and do little things for others to kind of show them God's love and my love towards them. So I think that's really kind of a big thing that I got.
Angie, I want you to keep up, you know what, keep up the good work. And you know what, I love the fact that these four kids are chasing around, you know, getting to this practice and that practice and you know, continue to certainly talk to them about their faith and extremely, you know, you have to continue to stress that part and the student athlete part. And, you know, I just appreciate your time. And I know that what you went through as a college student athlete, there were some great things that came out of it and some things that were really difficult. And I appreciate that you leaned on God and leaned on this great family of yours to get through it. So thank you very much. Any inside story that you want me to bring up with your younger sister, who we have next?
No, nothing. She's also a terrific mother and a great wife. She's got an interesting story about how she met her husband as well. So you might want to ask her about that one.
Oh, I will. I wanted some insight. Like, she never made her bed one time when we grew up. Something like that.
You know what? We shared a room our entire life at home, but I mean, I loved it.
Boys
share a room too.
You're not giving up anything on Stephanie. We'll see if she does the same for you. We'll see. She is Angie Wenzel Murison. She is again graduate from Heartland Arrowhead, Division I basketball player, and now mother of four. Mother of four. Met her husband FCA meetings down in Chicago, and I just really enjoyed the time that we had. Angie, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You bet. Well, on the other side of the break, her younger sister, Stephanie. We'll find out if she's as nice to Angie as Angie was to her. I bet she is, knowing this family. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Well, Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM. The Fan, I am Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. Our next guest, and I'll tell you what, her sister was really good. I'm sure that Stephanie Wenzel Lee has heard this before. That's a tough act to follow. When you talk about Angie Wenzel, she is a tough act to follow, and there's no way you've never heard that one before. Stephanie, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. How are you?
Hi, my good. I feel like I've lived that my whole life, always trying to follow my sister, but in a good way, of course.
In a good way, for sure.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm going to ask you just to speak up just a little bit, if we can. Hey, Stephanie, let's talk, if we can, about your journey. And as I talked to Angie, sometimes the toughest thing is to find people that get up on the mountaintop with us. But we learned about your family. And I, you know, learned about your grandma and learned about your parents and your family. And I don't know them, but I'm a big fan of theirs. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you grew up in a Christian home, and Angie painted a great picture. Stephanie, let's talk a little bit about you, you know, high school days. And we'll start right away, if we can, with part of your testimony.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have to admit that preparing for this has really brought up some feelings that I feel like I've kept buried. This story is emotional for me, so I hope I can make it through without blubbering through some parts. But I'm going to do my best. There are two things that make me cry. It's talking about my family and talking about basketball, and the story is kind of about both, so hopefully I won't.
Hey, Stephanie,
totally,
you know,
blubber over everything.
Can I just tell you that I cry every time I do this show?
So
there's, I'm not kidding. And I was this big, tough Irish kid on the east side of Milwaukee. I'm not kidding. And I can't test everybody's testimony to me, because mine is just really bad. And you know what? To be able to hear other people that have gone through some struggles, maybe not the same kind that I did, but and the Lord accepts us and He's there for us. And when your sister said He never changes, He never abandoned me. And that rung out to me. And you know what? Please do not worry about that.
All right. Well, thank you. All right. So my story isn't really about how I found Jesus, because as my sister already said, we grew up in a very Christian home, and I've literally been a Christian my whole life. Obviously, I've made mistakes, but I've never really gone through a period of, like, being lost. But I will say that I had to kind of go through some things in order to figure out my identity, because it was very much wrapped in who I was as an athlete rather than what it's supposed to be, which is being a child of God. So anyway, as my sister already alluded to, she was the star always, 2 years above me, and I was always her little sister. So, you know, when I was in fourth and fifth grade, she was in sixth and seventh, and then eighth grade, always, you know, being the star basketball player, and I was good too, but, you know, I always had to kind of, like, live up to her. When she was a sophomore, she led her team to state, and I was in eighth grade, and watching her on that stage was, like, total inspiration, and it became my goal and then our goal to get there together. So when I got to high school, I did end up playing varsity with her for 2 years. We were really good, but both years that we played together, we unfortunately got our hearts broken the game before state. But looking back at that time, I realize now that that was when my passion for basketball kind of became, I almost use the word like obsession, like so badly we wanted to win and so badly we wanted to find success that it, I don't know, it kind of became too much. Anyway, so once she graduated, I was sad, of course, but I felt like it was kind of my time to kind of establish myself. So I had my junior year, and then I struggled through a stress fracture and just some, like, I don't know, mentally weak moments, and I feel like I was really had a disappointing year. So then my senior year of high school rolled around, and I felt like I was in a really good place. I was finally healthy. I was strong. I had run cross country in the fall and just gained this new, like, mental edge. And I'd already signed with Bowling Green Division I College, so I kind of had that out of the way. And I just felt like things had lined themselves up really nicely for this to be the season that I'd always kind of wanted. And the season started strong, but again, my hopes came crashing down on me on January 7th, 2000. It was the 10th game of our season. We were playing Tyus. It was the third quarter, and I just tied the game, hitting back-to-back threes. See, I can remember it like it was yesterday. Yep. We were down on defense. I made a cut, and my knee popped, and down I went, and that was it for my high school career. My ACL was shredded.
Ugh.
So, of course, I was devastated. But, you know, this is something that happens to athletes. So I was devastated, but it was still like, okay, I'm, you know, 6 months, and I'm going to be fine. But what happened next really threw me for a loop. So I had knee surgery a couple weeks later, and during the surgery, the doctors noticed that my heart rhythms were not steady like they should have been. And they were like, what the heck is going on? So a week or so after having knee surgery, I was referred to a cardiologist, and we had to start the process of trying to figure out what was wrong with my heart. Honestly, I was a sight to see walking into the office that first appointment. I mean, I was scared. I was confused. I was hobbling on crutches. I had this big, like, white blood-stained sleeve covering my leg, and just thinking to myself, like, how did my senior year end up like this? Long story short, I was eventually diagnosed with a heart condition, and the doctor's, it has a name, non-sustained ventricular tachycardia. Basically means that the rhythms of my heart were not, I don't know, steady. They kind of like went like crazy every once in a while. So the doctor said that if the treatment for it didn't work, that would be the end to my athletic career.
Oh, boy.
I was given a 70% chance of it working, which, you know, that's like pretty good odds. But in my eyes, I had looked at that 30% chance of it not working. And that 30% chance meant my full ride that I had worked so hard for was gone. The college basketball career that I had dreamed of was over. You know, my high school career was already over, and this was kind of like what I was banking on. The doctor said I was lucky that they caught it before something devastating happened. But in my, you know, 17-year-old mind, I was just devastated. I felt like my dreams were unraveling right before my eyes.
Oh, boy.
I remember asking the doctor, like, okay, so what if I'm not in that 70% chance? Like, can you try it again? Is there anything we can do? And he just looked at me and said, you're just going to have to figure out that there's more to life than basketball.
Oh. Well, thanks a lot, Doc, right?
Yeah, thanks, Doc.
Yeah, thanks.
But you know what? He was kind of right, right? So anyway, I had this heart procedure set. It was an ablation, not an invasive surgery or anything. And the night before the heart procedure was, I mean, looking back at it now, I feel like the turning point in my walk with God as well as in my athletic career. I was 17. I had dedicated my life to playing basketball. I had worked extremely hard to succeed, and none of those things mattered. I had absolutely no control over the situation. I had always felt like if I worked hard, I could control how far I went. And this time, God took it completely out of my hands, and I think he was trying to teach me a lesson.
Amen.
So the night before I had that procedure, I went to my church. We had a youth group event. And I needed to kind of like get my mind off of how nervous and scared I was. But of course, instead of like singing like I was supposed to, I kind of like hold myself at the back of the sanctuary and just like cried out to God. I could not at first like just give it up to him. I thought I was being punished. Like, you know, did God think I was better without being distracted by my love for sports, or was I being punished because I loved basketball too much, or, you know, who the heck was I if I couldn't be the basketball player?
Right.
So I spent, I don't know, it felt like hours, but probably not that long, just crying out and not sure, you know, what to do. And somehow I kind of found this peace that I was looking for. Kind of hard to explain. It's not like I heard a voice or anything, but it was almost like a peace washed over me. I can't explain it any other way. These thoughts kind of came into my head that said, no matter what, I am going to be okay. Basketball or no basketball, I love running too. So like to imagine my life without that was unheard of. So running or no running, full ride or not, you know, God had me and I was in his hands and he had me. So I left church that night with this just completely different outlook on my life. I mean, it was like a whole new me coming out of church. For the first time, I was just at peace. And I had that procedure the next morning, and, you know, I should have been scared to death, but I wasn't. And then probably the hardest part, it should have been that I had to wait 7 weeks to determine if that procedure had worked. So the old me would have been filled with despair during those 7 weeks and just completely, you know, panicked. But this new, like, peace I had, I was, like, so calm. So anyway, you know the end of the story. I ended up playing college basketball, so it did end up working.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second, because, you know, I do a little research. April 21st, 2002, sophomore Stephanie Wenzel was named Bowling Green University Women Basketball Player of the Year. Honored at the annual women's banquet. Here's my favorite part. She earned the award in a vote of team members.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, you know what? I'll get to that part because there's kind of a story behind that, too.
You continued to play, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the song Still My Soul? I'm sure that over at Ridgewood Baptist you guys have sung that. But that's what I thought of right away. You know, just, you know what? Lord saying, look, it's okay. You know what? It'll be okay. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I woke you up a little bit, right? I had to wake you up a little bit, but don't worry. You've got a great future, and I'm going to walk you through that. Hey, let's talk a little bit, if we can. We just have a few more minutes left in this segment. That feeling that you got in the back of that church and walking out has got to be – I mean, obviously, you can speak very clearly, and it's just hard to say, look, I didn't hear voices, but something came over me. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony that is.
Thank you.
Yeah, it just is. And the people at Ridgewood Baptist Church are going, that a girl, you were supposed to be singing, but we saw you in the back there. Don't worry. We're okay with that. Let's get to a breakdown. On the other side of break, I want to get into the college years if we can. And okay. I want to continue to talk, and I can tell you that that I have tears coming down my cheek, because that for me is just a marvelous testimony of the Lord saying, look, I know this is hard for you. You're 17 years old, but don't worry, I'm by your side. I'm right next to you, and we're going to get through this, and we will continue that. She is Stephanie Wenzel Lee, and look, heard great things about her family, and I'm a big fan of all of them. And I want to, again, thank Brian Lipinski from Brookside Baptist Church, guy I go to church with. And again, I'm a big fan of his, and obviously his wife and their daughters have babysat for my grandkids. And I just thank him a lot for asking me, saying, hey, would you like to talk to these my sister-in-laws, because they're big-time Division I athletes, and they have just a really strong faith, and he is right. She is Stephanie Wenzel, and Stephanie Wenzel Lee. We'll continue our conversation with her on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. Again, I'm Mike McGivern, and we are talking with Stephanie Wenzel Lee. Again, talked to Angie the first two segments, Stephanie the second two, and she is a graduate from Arrowhead, went on to Bowling Green University and played basketball. During the break, we talked, and we don't have a ton of time, Stephanie, and I want to kind of cut this in two if we can. Your first 2 years at Bowling Green, that freshman year was really difficult for you.
Yes. So I came to BG, really excited. I felt like it would be a good fit for me. But very quickly when I got there, I was just so incredibly homesick. I didn't have a car, and I just felt like very alone. I was hoping that I'd hit it off with my teammates, but I didn't. So it was kind of like a constant struggle between like feeling lonely and missing home, and feeling like I didn't fit in with a team, that I'd never really had an issue with fitting in with a team before. So it was all kind of new territory for me. I was also, like, once it came to our season starting, I just sat the bench, which is fine. You know, a lot of freshmen do. But it's fine, but it's also difficult. And it's even more difficult when I felt like I didn't have, like, full support of my team. I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus, because looking back at the situation, it was definitely both ways. And there are certain things I could have done to, you know, handle that situation better. But anyway, my next year came up, sophomore year, and I'd gone home for the summer, and you know, a lot of my friends and family knew how hard that year had been for me, and they were like, why don't you just quit? You know, you don't have to be a basketball player. And honestly, that thought never even entered my mind. I am not a quitter, and a Wenzel is not a quitter for sure. So I knew I loved basketball, and I knew that God had brought me through the year before for something greater than just quitting right away. So I stuck it out, and we actually had a new coaching staff come in my sophomore year, and they noticed how hard I worked, and I feel like as they noticed, it kind of like grew my confidence, and the season started, and I was still like the last off the bench, but something magical happened the sixth game of our season. It is the game that changed everything for me. We were our team wasn't playing well, and Coach Miller had tried everybody else, and he looked all the way down the bench, and he's like, Steph, get in there. And before you knew it, I had scored 10 points by halftime, and I scored 23 points by the end of the game, and I had 8 rebounds. I had 9 for 9 from the free throw line.
Oh, man.
And that was it for me. I remember calling my parents after that game and just laughing and being, you will never guess what I just did. And it was like a laugh cry fest after that. So honestly, that game was the turning point of my college basketball career. You know, I'd worked so hard. I felt like my high school career was taken from me because of injuries. And now all of a sudden it was like, I was like the go-to player. 2 games later, I led the team in scoring and rebounding. The game after that, I had 25, and a few games later, I scored 30. That was it for me. I was, by the end of my sophomore season, as you already said, I was voted as the MVP by my teammates, you know, those teammates that I had felt like I wasn't close to. So things on that front were improving as well.
Obviously, yeah.
My senior year, so my junior year happened, and it was kind of the same. Oh, I forgot to mention, my freshman year, my sophomore year, although it was fun, our team wasn't very good, so it wasn't completely satisfying. And my junior year, it was kind of the same thing. You know, I had some personal success, but our team just kind of struggled through another losing season. And then came my senior year, you know, my last shot at this dream that I'd had. And I knew this was my last shot to have like that dream season that I had wanted. We had 7 freshmen that year, and I made it a point to be the kind of leader that I wish I would have had my freshman year, which made our team, I think, truly become a team. And with all of that, we ended up seeing great success. We ended the year with a 21-10 record.
Oh my.
We were picked 12th out of 13, and our conference were in the MAC. We were picked 12th out of 13th, and we ended up making it all the way to the MAC championship game after 2 consecutive buzzer beater victories. We defied all expectations, and honestly, it was like the time of my life. Personally, I saw success too. I ended up finishing, I led the team in scoring. I think I finished 3rd in the league in scoring. I scored my 1,000th point kind of in the middle of the year. I was voted to the 2nd team All-MAC. I was a 1st team academic All-American.
My goodness.
I was the Bowling Green Student Athlete of the Year. And I don't say these things to brag, but just to, like, give glory to God.
Amen.
You know, I was taken on a wild ride, and the way that my career ended was such a far cry from the girl that I was when this whole thing started. And I just remember, like, when it was all over, just looking down the bench and being like, wow, like, so much has changed. These girls have become like family to me. Like, I was just so thankful and that I had come so far in 12 years of basketball.
Hey, Stephanie, on the campus at Bowling Green, you know what they'd say? Angie who? Now, hold on. Who now? She has a sister? And you know what? Good for you. We've got a short time left. I just have to ask how you and your husband met.
Oh, yes. All right. So my story doesn't end there because, you know, with basketball being so important to me and then being over, I do have to say probably the most special part of my story. This is where I might get emotional. Sticking it out at BG, you know, not quitting, being,
right.
Persevering, whatever, actually brought me to my husband. If I would have quit, I never would have met him. So we actually met in Anderson Arena. That's the basketball arena at BG during my senior year. He was a member of our practice squad, actually, and he was matched up against me every day. Honestly, I had no idea that this guy was going to end up being my husband. We did not date till kind of a while after the season ended. But, you know, he is my husband. We've been married almost 14 years. We've got 2 beautiful kids, and my daughter is 7, and her middle name is Anderson, after Anderson Arena, where
That's
we met.
Awesome.
And my little family is the joy of my life. So I feel like, you know, sticking it out when the going got tough was what I was meant to do. It was hard. God put me through a lot of things, but He has blessed me abundantly.
Oh, 100%. Stephanie, and the fact that you guys played horse just the other day, and You said you smoked Nick, but you said, look, he's not here, so he's not going to be on the air to tell if it really happened. I can't thank you and your sister enough. And this whole, you know what this show is? This show today is about perseverance. And it's you guys have had really different journeys and stories, but it keeps coming back to what your sister said, and that is, the Lord did not abandon me. He doesn't change. God doesn't change. Everybody around us changes. Your teammates changed. You put up 23, and all of a sudden, you're like, hey, now and then 30, I'm a pretty good player, and now I'm accepted, and I just can't thank you guys enough. And I appreciate your willingness to come on this show and give that story. And I think one of the things that I've learned is what a wonderful family, you know, that you have and you have come from. And I thank them for that.
Yes, me too. You're right.
Stephanie, anytime that you and Angie and Nick happen to be up in the Arrowhead area, let me know, because maybe we'll play a little two-on-two. Nick's going to have to get in the gap.
I would love that.
Nick's going to have to get in the gap and kick me the ball a little bit. That's for sure.
It's on.
You got it. Oh, you want no part of this. I'm just kidding. Stephanie Wenzel-Lee, thank you so much. Tell Angie thank you as well. Guys, thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250.
Thank you.
You bet. On 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.